There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve edition of the show, day after. Is it Boxing Day? I think it is Boxing Day. Which I don't know, the way things are going out on my front porch here at the Western Command Center, I do know that Boxing Day, but it's about to be Boxing Day, as in like fisticuffs here between the two teenagers out on the front porch. So if you hear hollering during the show today, it's okay. It's just Christmas time with two teenagers. But yeah, Boxing Day where you give gifts to the poor. I think that's a good Christian sentiment. And it's interesting that it goes on in places where it's popular, like England, where I got a story coming up today. What is good Christian sentiment there as they have made a move to edit their hymns? Edit Christians' hymns because it makes people of other faiths feel less than. Okay, we'll get to that at some point today. But yeah, welcome. Midday Mobile coming up in the second hour. We'll talk to Dale Leash from Lanyap, taking your calls and your text at 343-0106, 343-0106. And a reminder, with the FM Talk 106.5 app that doesn't need an update. I hadn't seen a recent, like, I don't think, like every other app on my phone I've opened here during the holidays, it needs an update like every 17 minutes. Ours is very rare for the update. If you haven't downloaded it yet, of course, you'll get the latest version. It is free and waiting for you over at Google Play for Android users and the App Store for iOS users. Just look for FMTALK 1065. Get the app. All kind of cool stuff that goes on with the app. In addition to those cool things that go on with the app, you can use that microphone icon on the front page. Lets you press that, records a message, emails it to the shows. With 56 hours a week of live shows, this one and many other shows, and they can play back that message on the air. So good stuff. All right, and as we get started here too, I just hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. And if you got a chance to listen to Fisher House yesterday, the Christmas message from Fisher House, if you had not heard it until last night, you now know what it's kind of, or yesterday, you now know what it's all about. Just listen to some of it yesterday, listening to those warriors and what they have suffered and how they're helped by Fisher House will leave you, I think you'll leave your, whether it be Christmas Day or any other time of year, you hear those stories and it'll leave you with even deeper appreciation for the members of our military. All right, as we get started today, so many places we could go. I do want to start here, and we'll talk about this more throughout this hour and the next hour with Dale Leash. It was, I don't know, a couple months ago that, maybe more than that, a few months ago, that former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine on the on this show, had said, hey, there's going to be a lawsuit. There's going to be lawsuits maybe at that point in the running here for his firing. Well, it has happened now. Story from Lanyap Mobile. This story from 1819 News, and we'll get one from Lanyap as well. But this is my friend Erica Thomas over at 1819 News said, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine is suing Mayor Sandy Stimson and others, alleging his termination earlier this year came after months of conspiracies against him. The lawsuit was filed on Christmas Eve in the Circuit Court of Mobile County. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, Stimson's Chief of Staff James Barber, Public Safety Director Rob Lasky, Councilman C.J. Small, Joel Daves, Corey Benn, William Carroll, Ben Reynolds, and U.S. Attorney, former U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown, the Thompson Coburn Law Firm, Powers Consulting Group, and former FBI agent Tyrone Powers are the defendants in the 30-page lawsuit. So we're going to name some people. We're going to name a lot of people in that mix here. So once again, people named in the lawsuit. Mayor Stimson, Chief of Staff Barber, Public Safety Director Lasky, and then the councilman, C.J. Small, not all councilmen, because I didn't see, you know, there's one, two, three, four, five names in here. Of course, there's seven council members, but named in this, Councilman C.J. Small, Councilman Joel Days, Councilman Corey Penn, Councilman William Carroll, Councilman Ben Reynolds, and then former attorney, U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown, who, remember, brought that report out. We went through that whole report. You remember the report, too, from Kenyon Brown that did so much in saying, these are all these horrible things MPD did. And then at the end of each, you know, we call stanza, maybe, coming from Kenyon Brown, then he'd say, but we found nothing that was illegal or something to that effect. Also named Thomas Coburn, Thompson Coburn Law Firm, Powers Consulting, and Tyrone Powers. All right. So further down the story from Erica in 1819 News said the complaint details a timeline of events. It claims that although Barber, or so Chief of Staff Barber, was no longer the police chief, he continued to, because at that point he was public safety director, he said he continued to assert control over the Mobile Police Department. And remember at that point you have Chief Prine over the police department. Barber had been in the past in that position, but Barber was chief of staff. Lawsuit alleged much of the issues between Prine and other city leaders began when the in-custody death of Juwan Dallas on July 2nd of 2023. Between the death of Dallas and five other high-profile use of force incidents, public outcry led to actions that Prine believes were illegal, despite a no-bill status returned on all six cases by the Mobile County Grand Jury. Okay, so even though this is back to what Kenyon Brown did, where Kenyon Brown was kind of was wagging his finger and pointed at MPD in each of those segments of his report. But at the end of it, he said nothing was illegal. And I'm not using the right term there, but nothing, MPD wasn't at fault. Even though with that, it seems to many, and it seemed to former Chief Prine when he's on the show, to be a document built to impugn him and to make it easier to fire. This here from Prine in an interview earlier said, Barber, this is from a Fox 10 report here. It said, Barber became tired of the Dallas family making a barrage of public attacks on the administration and the city, according to the lawsuit. Said on or about October 21st, 2023, Barber called Prine into his office to discuss the negative attention surrounding the Dallas matter and told him he had leaked the Dallas autopsy report to Byron Day, a local news anchor with WALA Fox 10. Barber wanted Prine to be the second credible source to the report. However, Prine refused because leak, and this is what he said on my show several times, Prine refused because leaking the autopsy to the media while the grand jury was considering the matter for an indictment was illegal or at best unethical. The filing continues, said Barber began his crusade to remove Prine as chief after Prine refused to engage in the illegal conduct. So, what I've gotten from this here in conversations we've had in the past is the allegation here from former Chief Prine is that the Barber comes to him and Barber says, you know, you need to leak this. This is, you know, I need you to get this information out. Prine says, I can't legally do that. Okay. At that point, that is the allegation of Prine that becomes the thread unraveling in that relationship. Goes back to say in November of 2023, the lawsuit states that Barber told Prine that the city council was considering a vote of no confidence against him. You remember this. It states that Barber's wife called and texted Prine's wife about the impending vote, which Prine believed was Barber's way of pushing him to resign. Prine said he made a verbal grievance. We've heard that as well. Said city administration then hired former U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown to review the police department policies and practices in January. So kind of brings us back to, you know, the report from Kenyon Brown. But the lawsuit is out there. Now, this is going to be interesting as well, because the number of people named and the number of people that would have to testify in this, and how can, you know, we're talking about the hierarchy of the city of Mobile government, right, of the executive branch. In majority of them, in addition to U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown, the questions would be, you know, what were you asked to do? What was the reasoning for the report? These other law firms as well in this mix. I think this is going to be very interesting. And remember, well, I don't know. I'm not sure because the way the wheels of justice move. But conceivably, all this could be going on, even though Mayor Stimson is not running for re-election. But this could be going on during this 2025 Mobile mayoral cycle, which I heard the boys talking about this morning, and I think Jeff did as well. We can get back on that. Some of those names that might be running for mayor that might be testifying as well. All right, your comments on this and a whole lot more straight ahead, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Go enjoy Boxing Day out there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Doug, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Enjoying, hopefully some little time off here. Enjoying picking up the refuse of Christmas, bags and bags of trash out there. Or you could slip out today, I bet, and go see my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and see what he's got on the lot here at the end of 2024. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. How was your Christmas? Hope everything was good.
Yeah, we're good, man. How about you?
Good. We got a Palisade in here. These 9-day Palisades have been real popular with folks since they came out. Good-looking vehicle. 7-passenger SUV, 2021 model, leathered up. It's got the big sunroof and all that in it. Something around $25,000, which is extremely cheap for one of those vehicles right now.
Okay, let's talk about it. At the end of the year here, you said it actually hadn't been as big a deal for you as people have talked about in the national, with interest rates. You said y'all been somewhat sheltered probably because you have so many different lenders. But generally, things looking pretty good on that front here at the end of 2024?
It is. Rates with a couple of our lenders have already come down a little bit.
That's kind of what I was wondering. Yeah, I was kind of picking your brain on.
We had rates, We've got single-digit rates, and right now, if you've got good credit, we can get you a rate better than anybody, and if you've got absolutely horrible credit, we can get you financed. So we've got, every spectrum of the finance out here. We can do anything for anybody.
Now, I know, and we'll talk about it here, people can see the selection of vehicles online for LCM, but, yeah, there's a lot of people that normally would be at work on a Thursday or a Friday that won't be this week. Chance to come see them in person. So how they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Just give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thank you, David.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM. Let's see, a quick text here at the text line at 343-0106. And Squirrel Vereen said, it's Hanukkah, and I noticed the autocorrect from this liberal phone does not suggest it for autocorrect. Also, watch for rabid anti-Semitic leftists. Watch for rabid anti-Semitic leftists to get upset with businesses that display the menorah or the Star of David. I don't know. Not around here, I don't think. We'll watch. I mean, here's the problem. And Squirrel Vereen, you could probably definitely find a story. And you see what happened on those college campuses here this last year. So you have a leg to stand on. But one thing I just caution y'all, and maybe this is something for the new year. So you'll see stories reported. And we will report those stories here. We'll say, listen, this story from whatever, the Sun or Fox News or CNN or whatever says X, Y, and Z. Often what happens is if you look at the source of the story, true, but a small number of people, they'll say people on social media are saying X, Y, and Z. It doesn't have to be that many to paint a picture that everybody's doing it, right? So not saying it doesn't happen in mass, but a lot of times if you dig into a story a little bit more, and it doesn't excuse the singular event on it. It just want to point out that sometimes they're not these, and not saying this isn't, and I pray it doesn't happen that way, but things are maybe more isolated and they become a bigger story. They become, it's a story in Anywheresville, right? And this is not for what you're talking about. Squirrel Vereen could be for anything, but there's this thing in Anywheresville and there's some idiot in Anywheresville saying something about some other group and that gets painted and then we all read it. I mean, me being a a person too, right? We read it and go, gosh, this stuff is widespread. Some of it is. Some of it is just isolated, and it's worth just stopping for a second and making sure what you're reading is. If they say it's widespread, is it really widespread? Is it three people on Twitter saying it? So it's interesting to me, too, and I didn't get any text about this, but I know it's during the holiday. We'll talk about this more here the new year. As you see the lawsuit come out from Paul Prine, right, from former police chief Paul Prine, that was filed on Christmas Eve. Let's just quickly look through this list of names here, all right, of people that are involved in this lawsuit. Let's compare and contrast people involved in the lawsuit that also could have their name, their hat in the ring for mayor of Mobile in 2025, as Mayor Stimson's not running again. The officials are Mobile County Commissioner Connie Hudson. Steve Nodine said he's in, but there's some hurdles that he would have to cross. Those are the officials here. But let's, I mean, as you go through this, you have number one, the person filing the lawsuit, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. There's been talk. He's not said anything specifically, but there's been talk and talk on this show, and several people over the months with him said he needs to run for mayor. He lives in Saraland now. I know that part, but that can be changed. So the person filing the lawsuit, at least somebody discussed around the mayoral cycle. All right. First person named in the lawsuit, former mayor, he's out. Sandy Stimson, he's the one that is not going to be on that. Chief of Staff James Barber. There's a lot of talk, and he hadn't said anything officially at all. A lot of talk that James Barber could have been one of the names that would be on for 2025 for the Mobile mayoral cycle. Rob Lasky, I don't think so. Public Safety Director, I don't. Councilman C.J. Small, I don't believe. Councilman Joel Daves, he says, I actually believe Joel Daves when he said, because I said, hey, you know, when he said he's not going to run again for District 5, I said, okay, well, what's next? And he said, really nothing. And I truly actually believe him on that. Councilman Corey Penn, I don't think is going to run. Councilman William Carroll, possible? Yeah, I think there's a possibility there in the Mobile mayoral cycle. Another person named in this lawsuit. So it is interesting, the number of people that are named in the lawsuit that also could overlay with the Mobile mayoral cycle for 2025. And I say this, get ready. I think there's a lot more names coming in, not even specifically that those people I just named, but there's going to be a lot more people getting into this. And as I said, that people would announce before Christmas, that the official one was Connie Hudson. But it's not just for running for votes, but it's getting money. And there's, even though it is nonpartisan, mayoral elections, if you didn't know, they're not running as Republican or Democrat here, but there are money, there are a type of candidate, and there are the people that will finance that type of candidate. And so I think the first person, I think you could argue the first person that gets in front, that has some status here, that gets in front of that donor, going to be the first person to get the money. And by the time the third person in that lane comes around, there may not be more people to make that donation. So just something I think we're going to see a lot of people getting in here sooner than later. But that's a straight prediction. We'll see how that pays off going forward. When we come back to, I want to get into, it is that time of year, and I enjoyed hearing Dan and Dalton talk about it this morning. It is Festivus, right? It's Festivus. Well, of course, that's created by Seinfeld. But what Rand Paul and Senator Rand Paul out of Kentucky, and y'all know him, if you listen to any period of time, I'm a fan of Rand Paul's. Even Rand Paul, though, I don't agree with 100% of what Rand Paul says, but I agree with a lot of things. And when it comes to fiscal matters, I line up pretty closely with him on this. He is doing his annual overspending report, the government waste report, that he calls Festivus, because you remember Festivus is the airing of the grievances. So we'll get into the kind of the highlights or lowlights of the Festivus report coming up in just a second from Rand Paul. And we could talk about those things as we've talked about Doge getting in, right? So you've got Elon Musk, you got Vivek Ramaswamy coming in for the Department of Government Efficiency, which isn't actually an official government agency, or it's they can't do anything binding. Rand Paul is saying, hey, I've been doing this since before this was cool. We'll let him take his lap.
We'll be back.
And get your calls and text at 343-106. It's the last day edition of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. And a big thank you for the greetings here. Folks had a great Christmas. Yeah, we had a great Christmas as well. Thank you very much for that. Speaking of the in-between here, between Christmas and New Year's, if you didn't get exactly what you wanted for Christmas, you've got my man Clint Jameson, Adventure Earth Bicycles. Maybe you have some of that Christmas cash in your pocket. He has those deals still going on, the sales on the e-bikes and the non-e-bikes, as he calls them, the Amish bikes that aren't electric. He has 400 of those in stock at any point and over 75 electric bikes in stock. And you can find the ones, like I ride an off-road electric bike, has the bigger tires. It's for the woods. It's a great hunting tool, but I also just use it to exercise and get around on the farm. But he has the Fuji e-bikes. And so they make e-bikes. They're like more street bikes, more hybrids, and then they make the off-roads. They have different battery banks, different distances they can travel as well. He's a genius in all that stuff and can guide you to the right e-bike. And if you're looking for a non-e-bike, he's got those as well. You can check them out in stock with all the accessories as well. So maybe somebody got a bike for Christmas, but did they get the right helmet for Christmas? Did they get the accessories and add-ons they need? Or you need bike work done? Clint's got a good old-fashioned bike shop. In other words, number one, when you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, you don't get a box of parts. You get a put-together bike that's not only put together professionally, it's tuned up and ready to go. But if you have a bike you need service work done on, he is a good old-fashioned bike shop and could do that as well. Corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown. Also, you can check him out online, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside, and hopefully you do get outside. All right, let's see here, to the text line here. And Dalton, let me know if we're having we might have had a little issue there with the connection. I am at the West Mobile County Forward Operating Base of FM Talk 106.5. So we had some issues there. Just let me know if we're back. Let's see. Michael says, I don't think Barber's going to run. He has a snowball's chance in Coden during July of being mayor. Possibly. Yeah, I would probably say that, but that doesn't mean people, there are going to be people run who don't have a snowball's chance, right? So we'll watch it. It's just interesting. It's not a complete overlay, obviously, of the people that would run for the mayoral cycle, but they're, and the people named in the lawsuit, but it was just some that were the same. All right, it is Festivus time, at least what Rand Paul brings back, the Seinfeld-created holiday, the airing of the grievances. And this is interesting. Senator Rand Paul does this every year. Story from Fox News says Senator Rand Paul is calling out the Biden administration for spending over a trillion taxpayer dollars on government waste this year, including on a bearded lady cabaret show, Arabic Sesame Street. Now, when Arabic Sesame Street, do we know the sex of all the different people or creatures on Sesame Street? Meaning, will they have to wear burkas or not on Arabic Sesame Street? But he said, and girl-centered climate action. So the Kentucky senator released his annual Festivus report that details different ways in which the current administration spent taxpayer dollars throughout the year. The 2024 Festivus Waste Report found that the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 trillion this year, including giving a $10,000 grant to Beards on Ice, which is an ice skating drag show on climate change. So you got a ice skating drag show, interpretive skating, I guess, about climate change. It said, put on by Bearded Ladies Cabaret, a self-described queer cabaret arts organization. Pretty narrow definition. Additionally, the Agency for International Development, the USAID, spent $20 million on a Sesame Street spinoff show in Iraq titled Alan Simsim in an effort to promote inclusion and mutual respect. Okay. Have you looked at what's going on in Iraq right now? The influence of Iran in Iraq, right? So Iran has just come right back in, filled the vacuum in Iraq. Do we think that Arabic language Sesame Street is Big Bird himself, the great bird or whatever he'd be called there? Is he going to come in and change the hearts and minds of those kids? Also, another $1.5 million was spent experimenting on how different species, such as young female kittens, respond to motion sickness. Now, this is, and the question is here, too. Sometimes you look at these line items. Was it using cats to be a proxy for humans and motion sickness? I don't know. Is that what we need to do with our government right now? And as I go through these numbers, something I've done for years, I probably need to adjust it, actually, because I've talked about this for a decade and the way inflation is, the way money is these days. But I've said, if you consider $10,000 in taxes, just a generalized, I know there's so many of y'all that pay way more, but $10,000 of annual taxes, let's say we spread that among American taxpayers, which we know only about half of Americans are paying taxes, but over half of the Americans, okay, that pay taxes, if we take that number, we can spread it out and say it's $10,000 per family in taxes. $10,000. What could you do with $10,000? And like I said, I believe that number should be higher now. I've not adjusted it in a long time. But let's just keep it at the old number, which is low. $10,000 of money forfeited by Americans, right? And you would say, okay, well, that pays for public safety. I agree with that. It pays for parks. I agree with those things. Does it pay for all this? Well, it probably doesn't because we deficit spend. But it said, according to the report, in addition, the Department of Health and Human Services reportedly gave New York University over $400,000 to study whether lonely rats seek cocaine more than rats with positive environments. Now, how long have we been doing the experiments like the cocaine rats and cocaine monkeys? I mean, this has been since the 80s, right? Have we not come to a decision here? But no, there was more money for that. Also, they said the Department of Interior allocated $12 billion to fund a pickleball complex in Las Vegas, according to the report. Now, that could be, I want to check if that's not there's a fund where money is allocated directly to those things through Department of Interior. I want to check that. I think it's a land and waters fund. Check that. Doesn't mean it's right. It just means it may be already earmarked for that money. So you've got some of those. And this is goes back to the days of Coburn and the Pork Report out there, how much we spend of American taxpayer dollars when we are in a deficit. Let me come back to the thing I harp on all the time. It's not just the deficit. It's what we, the American people, are paying in interest on that deficit. Once again, government, just like you, if you're paying interest on credit cards, paying interest on debt, that's money that doesn't go to you and your family, right? It's to service that amount of debt. Same thing is true for we the people. The amount of interest, not the deficit, y'all, the amount of interest here in the last fiscal year, the amount of interest on our deficit spending, our debt in this country, was more than the spending on the Pentagon, Department of Defense. Just want to put that in the mix here. Also, as we go through the list here, State Department spent $3 million on girl-centered climate action in Brazil, a program reportedly designed to empower young women to become climate leaders by integrating equity and inclusivity into their environmental activism. That cost $3 million. Couldn't we just get like Dora to tell the story here of like why? Dora's already doing it. Goes on here in the report, says, as the average American taxpayer struggle to pay rent, their hard-earned dollars are ironically funneled into more real estate. The report reads, referring to Biden's struggle to spend $10 billion on maintaining and furnishing buildings that are almost entirely empty. Although the one thing is good, that it looks like those government workers that have been since COVID working from the house are going to have to come back to work here in the next quarter. Also, it said the Department of Energy, DOE, gave automakers. Now, remember, the same automakers, except for Ford, that all got bailed out, right? Remember that? Remember when we bailed out the auto industry? Okay. So the Department of Energy gave automakers $15.5 billion to push the industry to the electric vehicle sector, while another $388,000 was given to the, quote, magic in the United States, and, quote, a podcast discussing how magical beliefs and practices have evolved in the United States. I would say that would be a good podcast, right? I'd probably listen to that and have about magic. Do we need to fund that? And also on the electric vehicle, while it's like the commonplace thing for a conservative talk show host to say, stupid electric. I don't think electric vehicles are stupid. I think they're kind of cool. I think, like I've told you, I think solar is pretty cool. I think these things should be allowed to rise up through the marketplace on their own without having your taxpayer dollars and my taxpayer dollars allocated to them. right? I mean, because you can say, well, do they need to push the industry into the EV sector? Because at that point, too, the profit incentive and the R&D incentive is bastardized. It's not done properly because you now have incentive money pushing it away. So the day the incentive money is gone, is that market hollow? Also, Rand Paul mentioned the Biden administration giving $2.1 million to fund Paraguay's border. Is it Paraguay or Paraguay? Where are we now? Like, I grew up and say it's Paraguay. I've heard Paraguay. He said, nothing says America first like securing someone else's border, Rand Paul wrote. So there you go. There's the Festivus report on, and that's just the top items there, the easy low-hanging fruit from this. But we do this all the time. And, you know, as we talked about it last week, or actually it was Monday's show with Congressman Jerry Carl, you know, I said, hey, can Doge actually get anything done? You know, I'm such a fan of Doge and what they may do, but I'm not naive enough to not believe that every impediment is going to be thrown at them. Like, if I'm facing a Doge cut and I'm a politician, I can make a case for my district and what is going to be cut that will lead news cycles. It'll make Doge seem like the most evil people, you know, that movement, the most evil thing in the world. Will they actually make cuts that are big enough? Because it's not nearly as much as the Alabama state budget. Remember, in Alabama, general fund in Alabama, I think, is 93% earmarked dollars. In other words, when they meet in session this new year, it's 7% of the general fund that is discussed by our legislature that's in play. 93% is earmarked. They can't do anything about it. It's not that high a number at the federal level, but it's high. So we're not dealing with 100% of the budget. We're dealing with a smaller percent. Can Doge come in there? Can that movement come and make some real call? I hope so. Fire Dog says Big Bird on this Iraq Sesame Street. And I mean, listen, I get the idea. There's a lot of, you go, okay, how can we spend money to change hearts and minds in a country so we don't have to fight them? We don't have to have, you know, your sons and daughters, my sons and daughters go fight a war there. I get that, but this isn't it, right? This is not it. Having the Big Bird thing is not it. Fire Dog said Big Bird will be preaching the greatness of jihad and martyrdom in 6 months. They have the same show in Gaza. So it's questionable. Questionable where that goes, Fire Dog. I mean, remember the money in Fire Dog? You're a veteran. You remember the blood sacrifice of Iraq, alone in Afghanistan, and the money spent there. Remember the whole thing? We were going to make them into a democracy, and the people would be so proud to have the purple thumbprint from when they went in and voted. Remember all that? Remember that idea that was sold to us, that these people are just on the edge of democracy, they just got to be given a chance? Where's that gone now? Where's that love of the vote gone now in Iraq? And I would mind you, too, to watch, if you look at the legislative body there in Iraq, the number of people that are elected to the Iraqi legislature that are very, very connected to Iran, let alone Iran having forces operating, I would say, fairly openly in Iraq. But I mean, the legislative side, the people that are getting elected there that are Iranian proxies, maybe is too much to say, but that are definitely deferential to Iran. Wouldn't that be weird? Like to have, and remember Iran-Iraq wars, but can you imagine if we had done that with Canada? And then you had a time when, and then there's a resetting of the United States, and then you had Canada backing candidates in the legislature that were pro-Canada. So, all right, I tell you what, come back after the break, too. I have a Christmas story, Christmas presents for the inmates at Alabama's Fountain Correctional Facility. This happened on Christmas Eve. I'll give you details of what's in that and talk to you when we come back at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve, day after Christmas. And check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, who, as always, saved my butt in my Christmas shopping. Thank you for that. And let's talk about what's going on in the shop now.
How you doing, sir? We're actually closed today and tomorrow. We'll be back open on the 30th, but I'm always at the shop, as you well know. So if somebody has an emergency situation, they can call and I can see if I can help them out. Otherwise, we'll be back open Monday. Gold and silver is strong. Gold up about $14 today at $2,652, and silver is right at $30 an ounce.
You know, I got to pick your brain then, talking about precious metals prices, and I've been fascinated by, and silver has its relationship also in the markets out there in components, but platinum and palladium, you've talked about this, that platinum and palladium are key to the auto industry. So what are they doing numbers wise? And is there any kind of trend you're seeing?
Yeah, they've been slowly trending up. Of course, just like gold and silver, when the dollar got stronger after the Fed announced that they were cutting interest rates, and at the same time, everybody was arguing about raising the debt ceiling and all that. That did drive the markets down about 2 or 3%, but they pretty much have recovered almost back to where they were. So platinum and palladium are back up over, each of them are over $1,000 and have been holding there. Palladium is doing a little stronger than platinum because that is the current material used in catalytic converters, so it's about $30 higher than platinum right now.
But you've pointed out that the auto industry kind of watches that, and when one gets too high, maybe they switch to the other?
Yeah, they've done that multiple times. So when the one they're currently not using, which is platinum, is cheaper, and that's the time to jump in and maybe put that in your portfolio as a hedge. And then, of course, when the economy picks up and new cars start getting sales take off, then, of course, that gets stronger, and eventually they'll switch back over because, I mean, at the one point, palladium was up over 2,000, or excuse me, platinum was over 2,000. It dropped down, and then palladium climbed over 2,000 before this latest drop. So, I mean, and right now, both around 1,000 seems like a pretty good little hedge item.
It does indeed. He's got a store full of awesome stuff, plus a head full of education for all of us. Ron, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and the crew, and we'll see you soon.
Happy New Year, Sean. Talk to you next, or whenever you call next. Thanks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Happy New Year, indeed. That's on the way. Yeah, I'm starting to get the Happy New Year text. I'm just trying to getting through Christmas and Christmas cleanup. I will start maybe by Sunday. Start thinking about New Year. Which, by the way, I tell y'all, live in West Mobile County, so I go through the Valley of the Fireworks every day, coming and going here, and they've been open for 10 days, 2 weeks, or whatever. Like, fireworks stands have been open. They've been open out there. So, let you know that, New Year's is coming. And what's the law in Mobile? See, we can legally shoot them on New Year's Eve. Remember that big thing? They changed the ordinance or defined the ordinance in the city of Mobile. Was it this year or last year that they did that? Because, I grew up thinking that it was against the law to, and they said it actually hadn't been against the law previously to shoot the fireworks. But, any of us that grew up here, at least my mom and dad said, you cannot shoot fireworks in the city. And now you can't shoot them. Now it's defined you can't shoot them, but you can shoot them on, I think, Independence Day, you can shoot them, I think, July 3rd and 4th. And I think you can shoot them on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I think, because there's always the there's the night that everybody shoots off the fireworks, and then they didn't shoot everything off, so the next week you just hear the random pow of fireworks going off out there. All right, to the text line. Michael says 51%. Okay, here we go. Here's his stat. Thank you, Michael. 51% of people had no tax liability. That means only 49, less than half of Americans are net taxpayers. Said 51% of people had no tax liability in the most recent report. It's not that crazy that all this garbage being funded with my taxes. It's not that crazy all with all this garbage being funded with my taxes I paid. You consider every person as a leech instead of a productive person. But, I mean, it's one, and I think, Michael, I used to use the number, and I pulled it from a story years ago, maybe a decade plus ago. They used to say the average tax implication was $10,000. I'm sure it's, and that wasn't factoring all the sales taxes and all those things. That was like writing a check to the state, writing a check to the feds. But let's look at where we would sit now. I think that number is going to be well higher. Is it 15,000? Is it 20,000 net tax implication for the 49% that are paying? If you spread it out amongst those 49%. And then you start looking at these stories of government waste, and you realize how many families completely paid 100% of their taxes to pay for this crap, frames it a little differently. Same way it would be if the government didn't take your taxes out of your check and you had to pay it every 2 weeks on your own. It'd change your opinion, wouldn't it? Coming right back, Dale Leash from LandYap joins us.